This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Webcast.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast
and
on Facebook, and check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on, tune in, drop on.
Welcome to episode 269 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 14th of December 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Steve, Jen, Brent, Jacob, Hannah, Lisa, John, and Keith. And we have a special guest today, Heinz Herrmann, who is the CEO of Ice TV. And it's great to be on the show again, Brad, for our last one before Christmas, mate.
Yes, indeed, mate. It's the last one for 2013. And
yeah, sure is. It's been a good year.
Do you have a highlight guest so far this year?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know if I have a highlight guest. There have been a number of really good guests. I guess it's hard to work out an individual one.
I reckon all of them. I reckon Keith Tier and Heinz from Ice TV.
Yeah, I was going to say Keith, but he's here now, so I don't want him to get too big ahead.
All right, we do have Keith Tier. Welcome, Keith Tier.
No, you don't understand, guys. I'm shy and insecure, and I need praise.
Yeah, you do.
Well, Keith's been my favourite guest by far, Brad.
I agree. And also, Keith Tier, I got to meet up with Robert Scoble, by the way, too, if you didn't know that.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, wearing Google Glasses. Good fun.
And he's crazy in person as he seems to be on the internet, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And he's very tall as well. I don't know, he should play sport or something, basketball or something. Okay, we've got Hannah on. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. Hello.
The second time you're on the new iPhone.
No, I switched to the Mac because I thought that our previous call failed because of my iPhone 5S. And I was like, stuff this.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Okay, we also got Jacob on. Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Brad. How are you?
Very well, mate. Also got Brent on. Welcome, Brent.
Hey, Brad. Hey, Andrew. Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
Good to have you on, mate. Also got Jennifer on. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello. Happy to be here on the final show of 2013. Thanks, Brad.
Favorite guest, Jennifer, for you.
What's that favorite guest? Oh, my gosh. There have been a lot. You know, I really loved it when you had Mike Elgin on. I'm a huge Mike Elgin fan, yeah, and that was one of my favorite ones.
He's cool. And also, got some news about YouTube near the end of the show too, Jennifer.
Oh, wonderful.
To do with the show. What's that, Keith?
I was going to say my favorite guest was the woman singer from L.A.
Oh, Heather Stewart.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, Heather Stewart. Yeah, she was great. Yeah, she was fantastic.
Oh, she was great. Yeah.
All right, we've got Steve
on. She sang in the closet, right? She was singing from the closet.
Yeah.
Poppy sounds like this.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, let's move on. We've got Steve on. Welcome.
How you doing? Me and Brad just finished the Getting Nerdy With It.
Oh, yeah, we did yesterday. Good show.
Yeah.
Good show.
You did.
Good show. And hello to Heinz from Ice TV.
Hello there. How's everyone?
We're doing fantastic, mate.
Excellent.
Good song, yeah.
Want me to sing?
Sure, go ahead.
Excellent.
No. I would only make it to second favorite. Definitely.
Okay. All right. I want to ask Hannah a question. Hannah, do you record video on your phone?
Yes, I do quite a lot.
Okay. Well, you may want to check out Zafo. Zafo, Andrew, tell us about Zafo.
Yeah, basically Zafo is a startup that I've been working on. I've had actually a good team of guys around me, Mark on development. I've had Rod doing the iOS stuff, James doing design, and I've had a number of great beta testers. Half of the guys probably in the show today, and it's been a project that actually started in February of 2011, and we started creating an app for it at the start of this year. But basically, what Zafo is all about is it's about video. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a user experience for video that's a lot simpler than what we sort of have at market today. So basically, when you download the app and you start, you get met with three big round buttons on the screen, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or live for 30 minutes. So you can create a 30-second video. You can then push that out to your Facebook. You can push it to your Twitter, your Zafo, whatever you want to use. So what we're trying to do is right now people create a lot of video on their phones. Most of the videos might go for a minute, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, but they don't always get shared. That's what we're sort of finding, you know. Someone creates something, you go to a party and you show everyone, gather around my phone. It sort of seems a bit hard. Now, we've got great products like Vine, but Vine is a square video that goes for 6 seconds. What we've got is 30 seconds, 60 seconds in widescreen and high definition. But then you've got YouTube, which is also obviously a huge product, fantastic platform. But we think there's a really great space right in the middle of those. And that's sort of what we're working towards at the moment. And we've just launched our app. We're reasonably happy with it. There's still a number of things that we're going to do, as is normal for any app that's been in the store for 2 days. But it's a new project. It's something that we've been working on. We've got people from 100 countries around the world actually already using our beta platform. So we're moving on.
All right, good stuff. Keith, any questions for Andrew?
Well, I was going to ask Gary, do you spell it? But I just did a search for Z-A-R-F-O and I found it right away.
There you go, mate.
There you go, Keith.
So it's spelled like it sounds, guys. Zarfo.
Zarfo.
And if you're American, yeah, you've got to overpronounce the R. Zarfo.
Zarfo.
Zarfi. You know, my main question is, it comes from my experience of doing Just Me, and you'll remember when we started Just Me, we said that we're going to combine public messages, shared messages between you and another person who you know, or you and a group who you know, and then also we talked about private messages. And I've got to be honest and own up to the fact that never really took off. What did take off was the public stuff. And today, the public stuff on Just Me is on fire. But the shared stuff really never took off. And I just wonder how you think about the spectrum of sharing. We just introduced the possibility of being anonymous as well on what we call as a confession post. And on a confession, you can kind of cloak your identity and be anonymous. Whereas if you do a selfie, you're not anonymous. And so to me, there's like this spectrum. There's, you know, having a name and saying who you are, and it's your real name. There's being anonymous. And then whichever of those two you choose, you can be public or you can be private with people you know. So I'm wondering how you're thinking with Zafo of where do you really focus or do you do everything?
It's a really good question. I mean, in short, we kind of do everything. But in saying that, do everything is really hard because you give people so many options that they choose to do none. So what we kind of do is right now, when you create a 30-second video, for example, the next screen after that, you're met with four options at the moment. One is a globe icon, so you can make that public or not public. And if you click on that, which is default, then that will go straight out public and anybody can view that content. Otherwise, you can unclick that and make it private just for you and your friends. Or you can share it with a community on Zafo. And that might be relevant contextually. If you create a video, for example, at a local college football game, you might want to share it to that college football community so that all of those people can view the video, whereas your friends may not care to watch it. You know, they may not interest them because they're onto tech. But if you share it to a community where it's relevant, then you may get more interest. Or you can also share it to your Facebook and to your Twitter. So effectively, you've got the option to either share something public to everyone and anyone, or you can make it private, which is just for you and your friends. And you can also send that through to your Facebook, your Twitter, or to a community on Zafo that might have relevance to what you're actually creating.
Nice one.
So you're doing you're pretty much doing what we did with Just Me at that level. And the only thing I'll share with you is it was very evident to us very, very quickly which of those worked and which of those were underused. And one of the variables that you have to take into account is what does the mobile operating system already do a good job of? So for example, PhotoStream and iMessage on the iPhone covers some of that spectrum, and it does it pretty well with iOS 7, or Hangouts and Google Plus on Android does some of that spectrum. And I think what I've come to the conclusion through being treated very harshly by the real world is most of the space that's available for new apps is in the public sphere. And less space is in the sharing sphere, sharing meaning with people you know. And it's interesting in that context to note what Instagram and Twitter did this week. When Twitter added images to direct messages and Instagram added direct messages to what were previously public stream. So they're moving from public to shared.
And I think that's got a lot to do with Snapchat. I mean, Snapchat, you effectively, as we know, you create a piece of content and you choose who to share that with. And I think what Instagram are doing is very much in relation to where Snapchat are, as far as I've got a video here and I'm going to share this with these eight people because it's relevant to them, or I only want them to see it. And I think that also has to do with, because we've got so many options available to us today, we can download 20 apps that do exactly the same thing and they're all breathing down our neck. I think people now, that they have no patience for things that may or might or might not. You know, you put something up on Facebook for the younger generation, you check back in half an hour, you see how many of your 400 friends have liked it, you know, 12 have liked it, you don't know who's seen it, who hasn't seen it. Whereas with your sort of Snapchat product, and like you just said then, Keith, with what, you know, the direction that a few of these other platforms are going in, you create that, you share it to the person you want, you know, you're out the door. So it's very much, you know, bang, hit, rather than sort of hit and miss.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing is that young people, and by young, my observation is it's kind of like from 13 years old up until about below 20s. Public, almost exhibitionism, seeking attention, endorsement, shocking people, all of that stuff, that public stuff, is actually on fire right now. And now, at the same time, there's a lot of interest in Snapchat, which is covering your trail, if you like, being able to cover your trail. But covering your trail only becomes a problem if you're living in public, or relatively in public, unless you're a criminal of some kind. Mm. So anyway, I find the whole thing fascinating, and I'm going to predict that your next 12 months, you're not going to be thinking about anything else as you learn from your app what people are doing. This is going to be your world.
Well, it's interesting that you say with the public. I mean, we've got two things. We've got a news feed, two buttons at the top of the screen, news feed and discover. News feed will give you the information that your friends are creating, people you're following and creating, whereas if you click on discover, that's where you get everything and anything that's being created near you, or contextually, or friends of friends, or things that match your Facebook likes, these sorts of things. And as you said, Keith, it's going to be really interesting over the next 12 months to just see what buttons people are using, where they're clicking, and really try and, you know, get those, you know, that meta information off people as they're using the platform. Obviously not individual people, but as a, you know, a global thing from our platform, seeing just where people are clicking and what they're doing.
If you can, if you could randomize which of those was the landing page for when someone loads the app, you'd learn a lot right there. Like
yeah, we've sort of already done that based on if you have X number of friends or X number of amounts of content, you go straight to newsfeed. If you don't, then you push to discover feed with your other stuff at the top. So that way you don't get to Zafo and you see only four items of content. You'll get a nice healthy screen, because we think that obviously cold start is something really a problem with new products, new platforms. So we're really trying to get to a point where you can download it for the first time, use the product, and instantly be met with content, click to follow people, those sorts of things. But you know, we're still learning. We're a young, really young company. We've only taken mum and dad money to date, effectively, so we still aren't institutionally backed at all. So we're, everything's on a shoestring. But you know, it's a whole learning curve, and look, probably a lot of it you've already gone through, Keith, with a lot of your experiences. So it'll be interesting.
All right.
Well, yeah, but.
All right, I was just going to ask if Hannah or Jennifer or Steve or Brent or Jake got any questions for Andrew about Zafo. Brent, what do you think about the app? Go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. Please be quick.
Well, what I was going to ask was what got you the idea of starting Zafo?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jacob. I'll try and answer it quickly. Basically, we started around video chat, but that's a really difficult space. And then we brought broadcasting into the place. And the whole idea of what started me doing this was I actually got really frustrated. My phone ended up full of data. I had a 64 gig iPhone with no space on it. And I'm looking at it going, what the hell's going on here? And I had a look through and deleted all my, you know, whatever other content, music and stuff. And it was just full to the brim of videos. And then I sat down one day and showed a few friends videos over a few drinks late at night, and we spent a couple of hours, and it sort of dawned on me at that point that, you know, YouTube's a great medium for that sort of thing, but just for the everyday sort of pull out a video and do a 30-second one at dinner, I didn't feel at the time, and this was a good year and a half, 2 years ago, that there was something around that suited that particular dimension. So it was really just a case that I felt there was something lacking, a nice middle space to Vine, which wasn't even available at the time. And sort of YouTube. So it was really brought about, Jacob, because I felt there was a hole there that, you know, we could fill.
All right, good answer, Andrew. Hannah, do you have any questions for Andrew?
No, I'm just listening, okay, enjoying the conversation.
All right, good stuff. All right, Brent, any questions for Andrew?
Nothing really, just congratulations on the launch. I'm sure you're going to be a busy guy for a while.
Oh, I just remembered my question.
Okay, Steve, any questions?
I remembered my question.
Can you just please wait, Jacob, for God's sake? Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry, Steve.
I know the app was recently released. How many downloads have you seen so far? Of course, I'm guessing since it's been released here very soon that you've still got some time to see more downloads.
Yeah, I mean, right now, to be brutally honest, we're only in the hundreds of downloads, so it's very low spectrum. This is realistically the first public announcement that we've actually had of the release of the app. We haven't done any marketing or anything, and we're sort of really happy with that. We don't want to go too big too soon because you only get one chance with people. If they download an app and it's crap and it doesn't work, they delete it. Next time someone says, hey, I'm using this, it's really cool, they go, meh, I tried it, it's useless. So we really want to try and learn, and there's things already just in the day and a half that we've actually released this app that we've learned that are wrong or could be better or around user experience. So right now it's a very low install number, but you know we're kind of really comfortable with that because we want to build it and get things right over the next sort of month and a half, 2 months before we start really switching on some Facebook marketing and really pushing towards the TechCrunch and the Mashables and these sorts of things. But to be honest, I mean, we're in Australia. We're sort of out of the reach. We're not in Palo Alto. So we've had very little conversation or interest from those sorts of companies. Granted, we haven't gone to them as yet, but, you know, we're a low install base, but we'll see where we get to once we actually press the button properly.
All right. Good stuff, hey, Andrew. Go ahead,
Andrew, Jennifer. I have one quick question. Where did you come up with the name Zafo? Where did that come from?
Sure. I spent a long time trying to find a really small, easy, quick, concise name. It's really difficult. All of the .coms, you know, I can quite easily say they're all taken. All the good .coms are gone. I wanted something that's four or five letters, that's really short, runs off the tongue, and is reasonably memorable. So I ended up finding Zafo.com, and we also own Zarpho, in case people in Asia pronounce it with a PH. And so that's what it was all about, just finding something that's quick. You know, I mean, in the vein of your Google, your Yahoo, not comparing our company to theirs, but just the fact that it's sort of a really simple, clingy, quick, easy, short name. And that's what it was all about.
Memorable and, yeah.
Yeah, the name itself has no meaning, but we ran a competition a while ago to get a meaning for the name, which is up on our on the Facebook page for Tech Webcast.
Cool, gotcha. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hein, do you have any questions for Andrew?
No, I've really enjoyed the conversation. It was great to listen to.
Good stuff, man.
And I don't want to get it. I've got plenty to talk about.
Great.
You're up next, Hein.
I've been looking forward to that, Hans. And I've actually started using Ice TV lately, and I can tell you it's a fantastic platform.
I agree.
So I'm really looking forward to chatting to Hein shortly about it.
Yep, definitely, mate. I agree.
Andrew, I've got a suggestion for Andrew.
Go ahead, Keith.
I think you should take the code base and duplicate it and upload a second app called Barfo. And market it. and then you should market that one as Gross Me Out. It's like, do something that grosses me out.
Oh, that's great.
You know, it's funny you say that, Keith. I had someone a while ago say a similar thing and said you should have one called Barfo, which is just video of people vomiting into toilets late at night. I thought the same line, Keith. It could fly.
The goal should be to make the viewer vomit. You should upload something.
Oh, my gosh.
Goodness. Don't tell an entrepreneur a new idea,
Keith. By the way, I tell you this. If you did that, it would be a hit.
Oh, no.
There you go, Andrew.
Trying to get investment for that.
There you go, mate. Okay, Paul, any questions for Andrew?
No. I've been using Zafo for a few days as well, and I thought everything's pretty much. I've been looking for an app similar to this for a while. So
yeah, definitely. So
this is actually a really good app.
Do you use
Paul's an iOS developer, and we're actually going to be hopefully working with Paul on the platform a bit in the future, which would be really great, Paul.
Good stuff. So, Paul, do you use any other video apps besides this one, or what other apps do you use?
Well, I've been looking for a way, because I've been using Ustream and various other live streaming applications, and they've not really been useful to me in a lot of ways because I have to separate from YouTube a lot. To have something that I suppose in terms of sharing content easily without having to always go through YouTube is brilliant, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can just share stuff directly off the bat rather than having to go and upload it through YouTube, which is good.
All right, good stuff, mate, good stuff. So, Andrew, what's the price on it when people want to buy more HD stuff? Or what's the pricing?
The price at the moment is free. We at the moment we have 30 minutes live. There will be subscriptions available where you can have longer than that. You'll be able to buy like a 24-hour pass to do live broadcasting for people who have a wedding or an event or a function or those sorts of things. And there's a number of other monetization methods that we, you know, we've gone through and that we have in our plan. But we're probably just not at a point now where we'll be announcing those. But effectively, you'll be able to get a monthly subscription and then also like an overnight pass for events and things like that, which I think it'll make it easy. And I think once people use it and do a half-hour live broadcast, they'll sort of get the drift that, you know, if they've got to pay a certain amount for an overnight, then it might make sense for them.
Good stuff. And also you've built a new website as well for Zafo, for the new app and stuff. And
yeah, we do. There's a new website up there, so zafo.com. Still working on it. As I said, it's all very preliminary, and next year there'll be a whole lot more happening, but there's a lot of work going on.
All right. Well, can't wait, mate. Thanks for taking your time talking to us, Andrew, and Zafo rocks, mate. And, download
it
today.
No worries. Really appreciate it, Brad.
Download it, and it's a great app. And, Okay, Genevieve, let's jump into some news real quick, and then we'll go to Hein's.
All right, we'll go through the news stories. Now, the first one comes from the Next Web, and it is about Google Chromecast, everyone's favorite gadget these days. Google Chromecast now supports casting Google Play movies and music from the web. They announced a great update to the Chromecast device, and basically you can now play movies and video from your Chrome browser as long as you have the extension and cast it to your Chromecast. So you no longer have to have a device such as your Android device or your iPhone or your tablet. You can actually do it from your computer, which is great. It really comes in handy. I was actually watching something via Chromecast last night that I purchased through Google Play because I have all this Google Play credit from that Opinions app that gives you the free credit, and I'm like, what do I do with this credit? So I got a movie and I cast it over there, but I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh wow, it'd be really nice to be able to do it from my laptop, and now you can. So so that's story number one, and we'll just kind of go right through the stories since we're kind of short on time, and we'll chat about them at the end. Story number two comes from Highlight. If you all don't know Highlight yet, definitely check it out in the App Store. It is an app that is location-based. It's Highlight 2.0, and they call it smarter, lower power, and polished all around. They introduced the update yesterday. It is available in the App Store and in Google Play, and it is smarter than ever. Now, it actually uses the sensors in your phone to show you live updates with the people around you, so you can glance at the footer just below each person in your network to see what they're doing, where they are, who they're with, what they're listening to, and why it's interesting that they're nearby. So you can see if Brad is walking down the street and Andrew is at the coffee shop out in the corner, for example. So you'd be able to see all that kind of stuff. You can see when Brad is listening to Eminem.
Yes.
And so it's really, really neat. So they've added that to the app. They've increased their power, the algorithms, basically, that power highlight have gotten a lot more sophisticated. And the service now understands that some connections are stronger for others. For example, the person sitting next to you is from your hometown, so that's more interesting than whether or not you both like the same TV show. So it will show you that kind of data now. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's also an entire new interface, so it looks completely different than what it did before. So definitely check it out. Highlights. Story number three comes from Mac Rumors, and it is about the Apple TV. Apple TV has added ABC, Bloomberg, Crackle, and Core TV channels to Apple TV. So they're definitely expanding their lineup. And if you haven't had a look at your Apple TV or updated it as of late, definitely power it on. Give it an update. You don't even need to do the update. It's automatic. And you will see the new channels in the Apple TV. So check that out. The next story comes from tvtonight.com.au. Leaked Foxtel IQ3 info. So there are some leaked internal videos of Foxtel's IQ3 development that indicates exciting changes ahead for viewers. So definitely want to check out these videos on the website. There's a Wi-Fi-based IQ3. It's set to be a hybrid of broadcast television and IP. It will come with 9 tuners. There were originally plans for 10, but now it's saying 9 tuners, which is huge. And visually, the display conforms more to the look of other Foxtel products, such as the Foxtel Go, with a high use of imagery, as opposed to hearing a little bit of echo there.
I hear myself.
So if everyone's on mute, please. Thank you. And the graphics are all in HD. So definitely check it out. Good stuff coming from Foxtel. We love leaks. And I know you do too. So if you are from Australia, you want to look at that one. Next story comes from Engadget. Google Plus for Android update brings search and notification improvements. So that is fantastic. I have not noticed a Google Plus update yet on my device, but maybe it updated in the background, so I'll have to take a look at that. But following last month's update to enhance locations and photos, the guys in Mountain View are rolling out a version 4.2.4 of Google Plus for Android. They added features that include the ability to search everything from the same box and content by browsing the category of what's hot. In the what's hot stream, that is. So notifications get a tweak as well. They allow users to actually control who's able to buzz them immediately by adjusting who can notify me in the settings menu. Finally, to show you that you're in the proper seasonal spirit, this is super cool. Shaking your device now adds animated snow to an open photo via Auto Awesome.
Isn't that cool?
A second shake will actually save the image. So, you know, that's sweet. I just cannot wait to find an Auto Awesome photo, shake my Android device, and have some snow. It's like a live snow globe.
Hey, Jennifer, I've got a question for you. What happens if I shake my iPhone 5S? Would it work for me?
It will not work on the iPhone 5S. It said that this update was for Android.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Damn.
Not yet, at least. Maybe soon. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I hope so. Next story Speaking about phones and Android phones, the next one comes from digitaltrends.com. It is about Samsung. They refused to replace a burned Galaxy S4. So what does Nokia do? Nokia actually offers the customer a free Lumia in response. So this was quite interesting. This fellow actually had plugged up his phone, his GS4, like he does every night, went to bed. Hours later, he woke up to a smell of burning electronics, and he saw a spark and something shooting out of the phone. After they unplugged the phone and they got out of the house, it was a smoldering device, brought it into the shop, and he filmed a video that showcased the damage of the device. They actually reached out to Samsung and asking for a replacement, and Samsung actually said, yeah, we'll inspect the phone and we'll replace it with one, but only if you sign a waiver. And once the waiver is signed, Samsung would send a similar model of the device. So the thing is, if they were to sign this waiver, it would force them to take down the video of the damaged phone that was posted on YouTube. And after that, they would have to agree to not talk about the incident, waive all liability of Samsung, not just for the GS4 in question, but any other Samsung products he owned. So I don't think he signed that agreement, evidently not, and kind of made it a public event. And now Nokia offered a device in return. So quite interesting about
that. That's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what Samsung's doing there, but that's a bit dodgy.
I know, for them to say, hey, yeah, well, you will do this, but you signed this agreement to promise never to talk about it again. That is a little bit shady there. So yeah, not too cool. And the last story is about Instagram. So Instagram, we talked about this a little bit earlier today. I believe Keith mentioned it. Instagram just got private messages. So it's pretty easy now. If you want to send pictures and video out via Instagram, you can actually send them directly to the people on your screen within the app. So you have your followers and your direct. And if you were to hit direct, you can send it up to 15 different people in your direct messages, basically, is what they are. So so Instagram is kind of, I guess going the Snapchat route, sort of, right? So they're not, they don't disappear after 15 seconds. So, And that is the news.
That's great news reading there, Jennifer, from you. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Keith Cheer. Yeah, any opinions on them stories, mate?
I mean, I'm interested in the Apple TV stuff because it feels to me as if what's happening is channels are becoming apps. And Apple TV is really just a container for channels that are presented as apps. And that feels like a world I want to live in, where I don't have to buy 300 channels that I don't watch from my cable company. I can just buy an Apple TV and watch the channels I actually want to watch.
Mm-hmm. A la carte.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree. My one complaint with it is, for example, when they said they're adding ABC, I believe it was, and ABC here in the States is a network out here, of a huge network out here in the States. And the thing is, in order to watch that, you actually have to have a cable subscription already. So it doesn't really make that much sense to me. Like, yeah, you can add these apps, but at the same time, you can only actually watch them if you already have a cable subscription. So what's the point in even adding the app if you have a cable subscription? Because you want to cut the cord, right? Isn't that the whole purpose of cutting the cord? And
You're making a great point. That's a great point.
I think the big argument that gets made by that is ABC says, well, listen, you might have your Apple TV, unplug it, take it on vacation, take it to somewhere where you at least have an internet connection. And as long as you have an internet connection and are paying your cable bill, you can log in with those credentials, watch ABC in real time over your internet connection if you don't have cable in the location where you are.
You know what? I've never even ever once in my life taken my Apple TV, my Roku, none of my devices with me when I travel. I do, I will log into maybe Netflix or something. And I did try a Chromecast once and it didn't really work in the hotel. But I mean, you guys do that?
No,
I haven't done
that.
People do, I'm sure.
I'm traveling at the moment. I'm up in Brisbane at the moment. And I've got my Apple TV with me and my Chromecast.
Oh, okay. Wow. You're a geek. Yeah. You're a geek.
Thank you,
okay, Brad. Let's go to, we're going to make it real quick because Heinz is waiting. Let's go to Hannah. Hannah, what about you?
I don't know. We spoke about so many stories, and I keep thinking, oh, I want to say this, I want to say that, and I've forgotten them all.
Okay, you can tell us at the end of the show. What about you, Paul?
Interesting, just going back to that Chromecast thing, what I also discovered with that, you can actually mirror your PC or Mac completely over Chromecast, from what I saw on a few videos with that new feature with that you were talking about there, Jen.
Oh, your entire PC or your Mac? Not just the browser?
So you can actually go into your Mac and basically from if you've got the plugin on your Chrome browser, you can actually mirror the entire OS.
Well, I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, that's apparently part of the new features on as well.
Nice. Yeah. I'll have to try to figure that out.
Which also makes you think, you know, why do you need an Apple TV now when you can, you know, do it from Chromecast?
Yeah,
all your PCs, all your Android devices, all your, various devices, you can just mirror. Doesn't matter what OS. Except iOS, as far as I'm aware of. I think iOS doesn't have the support for it.
Okay, what about you, Steve?
Yeah, just on the Samsung S4, When I seen a picture of it, I noticed, of course, where the connector was, and they tend to use the, I think it's the micro USB connections, which is kind of notorious for kind of breaking quite easily. So perhaps they should use a little bit more, a better type connection where probably why it shorted out.
I will tell you, I'm not a fan of the micro USB connectors. All the devices up until the past couple of ones within the past 4 or 5 months that I've had have always had some type of faulty port. Something will happen with that port. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's, you know.
It's too small.
But, you know, even with a lightning adapter, that's small too, you know. So, I don't know. But lately, my Moto X is awesome, and there's been no issues with that, nor with my Note 3 and... Yeah.
Okay, we got Heinz here. Heinz, are you here?
He fell out.
Okay. Andrew, what you got an opinion on them stories, mate?
Yeah, maybe try getting Heinz on. And basically the one about the phone with Samsung, I believe it was, that's really interesting, sort of telling somebody, you know, we'll go and do this for you, but you can't tell anyone about this. It just goes to show just how important to these big companies, you know, they're billion-dollar companies, but one person can create a ripple for them, which has a financial loss, or, you know, a media story picks it up, your TechCrunch, Keith, you know, these sorts of things. So they're really, even though they're big companies, you think, you know, what can one guy do? They are obviously quite worried about that one person. And likewise, you know, Microsoft with the other phone that they were looking to give them, the Kodak phone, that's really interesting. You know, have a free phone, here you go, and hopefully that guy will talk to people and someone will pick up the story. It's just interesting how far someone will go to both protect a story and try and create one.
Yeah, that's true.
I think those companies should have had more sense to know that if they say, you can't do this, sure, we'll give you a new phone, but you can't do this. Like, as if that person wouldn't then go, stuff you, I'm going to do whatever I want. You, the company, should be bowing down to me, the customer, and hell yeah, I'm going to turn this into a meme. And, of course, it would become a meme.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they sent them a menu of, you know, whatever you do, please don't go to this company. Okay.
And this video already has over 1 million views. I mean, so it's on fire.
Oh.
Just like the phone.
Just like the phone. Good one, Jacob. Good one, Jacob. I do have one more thing I want to say about the Apple TV. One thing I noticed is they have not added Amazon videos yet. And do you think that is? I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think that's because there might be some type of rivalry or something between Amazon and Apple, where they just don't want to play nice? Because I think Amazon wants to officially, you know, eventually actually launch their own type of Amazon TV as well. Do you think that might be part of the case? Because, you know, they're on Roku, but I'm wondering why they're not on Apple TV yet.
Amazon has video?
Yeah, Amazon. Here in the States, actually, Amazon Prime Video. So they have Amazon Instant Video. So it's very similar to Netflix. And the thing of it is, it's part of your Prime membership. And so you get a lot of free content, and then you can actually do pay-per-view. But it's great. I watch a lot of content via Amazon Prime.
I don't think there's any real technical limitations for why they're not deployed yet to Apple TV. It's an icon. Usually these things get hung up mainly in the legal stages with really intense negotiations about how to have the content that Amazon themselves has first negotiated to get now being shown on another platform and other negotiations. So very, very long legal process, but it could pop up at any day.
Yeah, I hope so, Brad.
I'd go the other way. I think that they're directly competitive with each other to such an extent. Look at book sales. I mean, you can get the Kindle app on iOS, but Apple has its own bookstore and its own books app, and it doesn't do anything to help Amazon.
You're right. You know.
And it's the same with video. So I think when it comes to content, Apple sees Amazon as the enemy. And actually, that legal case that was just going to the US courts related to book pricing was all about that competition between the two of them. So I don't think there's any chance in hell that Apple will put Amazon, because it just sees it as an exact replacement for its own service, whereas it sees Netflix mainly in the rental market, not in the buying videos market, which Apple is in.
Yeah, and you're right. And Apple actually does provide, you know, TV shows and movies themselves for through iTunes. So, and that's
I'd prefer to work with 30, 40, you know, 50 distribution companies, which are considerably smaller than them, then as you said, Keith, work with another company, you know, as big as them, because if they go and help them create a new, you know, product to market, that can certainly hurt them in the longer term, whereas I think they'd much prefer Apple to just work with lots of small distributors.
The other thing, though, is that is actually interesting is, you know, we all think of Apple as a hardware company, and usually software. Their software is great, but the reason they do it is to sell hardware. In the case of Apple TV, that is not the case, because the Apple TV is only $99. There really isn't huge margins on it or big money there. So that's the one place where Apple is becoming a content seller, not a hardware seller. And it feels to me as if they really want to get to a point where TV everywhere, where you have to have a cable subscription, goes away, and the Apple TV, you can just you can choose HBO whether or not you have a cable subscription. You can choose HBO, the app, and of course the cable companies don't want that, because they overcharge us all for stations that we don't watch.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Okay, Keith. Good answer, mate. We got Hines on. Hines, you here, mate?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Okay. Well, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me.
And you had some technical problems before, but it's all sorted out. So good to have you on, mate. And tell us about Ice TV and what you do at Ice TV. You're the CEO of Ice TV, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Best gig I ever had. Very rewarding.
Good stuff. Now tell us, what is Ice TV?
Ice TV is a company that really understands what the consumer wants. We play a different game. We don't tell the computers, like the pay TV operators and the smart TV operators, that they need the next best gadget, gestures, plasma, 3D interface. In the end of the day, you just want to come home, slouch off on your lounge, and you want to enjoy TV, free-to-air TV, video on demand, whatever it is. So the company that has done that really well is TiVo. Ice TV has taken that to the next level. And we've opened up the TiVo-type functionality, developed it further, put it on all sorts of different hardware platforms, different types of PVRs, low-range price tags from $100-plus to $500, that sort of a price tag, and taken the user interface to mobility. So you can take the smart recording functionality, the immersive experience while you're looking what to record, reliable season pass recording, can take that out with you onto the street and run it on your padlet, on your smartphone, on your tablet, anywhere with your latest generation user interfaces. So we're kind of the open TiVo that runs on any sort of hardware to suit any type of price tag, and it runs on all sorts of latest generation mobile user interfaces.
Okay. Andrew?
Yeah, that's interesting. As you sort of touched on, I think TiVo is obviously a great product, and I'm sure you get compared to them a lot. I think one thing that they've got is a great user experience, but I recently downloaded, I bought a Humax PVR device, which has been a really good platform. We actually had Humax on the show not too long ago, and I installed the Ice TV, and I got to say, when I first installed it, I thought, you know, okay, great, you know, why don't they just have the standard, TV guide? But then once I've installed it, and it's got everything in it, it was for what you pay for it, it's a sort of a once-off license. It's a really rounded platform as far as being able to, you know, create loops for all of your favorite shows. If you get home late, it automatically starts. You can have a look at exactly, you know, obviously what's on and when. But the thing which I really love about it is just being able to say, okay, I love this show, I want to watch it every week. Click a button and there you go, and you can sort of series link that. And that's not standard for, you know, when you buy a device. But I think as far as hardware is concerned, from me, from now on, I'm only going to really buy hardware that I know is compatible with Ice TV because of just that functionality of actually being able to choose my own hardware. So I don't have to go out and buy a TiVo box. I buy whatever hardware I like. And as long as I know it's got Ice TV, I know it's going to work and it's going to be a great partner.
Well, for Andrew, why would you buy TiVo? Because they're not doing anything anymore, mate. They're stopped.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously for our American viewers as well.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
I think it's a really good thing as far as being able to go through and series link and do all of those sorts of things. And the fact that it works on multiple hardware is really fantastic experience, particularly in Australia where we do often miss out on experience that some of the US guys get.
Okay. Hey, listen, just a quick question. Now, did you have a view on that Foxtel story at all? About that leaked story?
It's always about the latest box, isn't it?
It is.
Nine tuners. You just gotta laugh. And again, what it comes down to is to provide an immersive experience. We play a different game. We're just gonna freeze the competition, freeze their game of throwing millions of marketing dollars about telling them what that next little extra mousetrap is that they need to buy. It's really all about chilling out. Our concept's different. We're not talking about nine tuners. Wouldn't it be nice if you look at an Australian household? There are the growing segment of PVR users is that you have more than two or three. There's some people, there's even five PVRs in one household. You know, you start out with the lounge room, you really enjoy it, you put one in the master bedroom, and the kids want one in their bedroom, and so forth. So you very quickly rack up a number of PVRs. So instead of bringing one out with nine tuners, wouldn't it be nice to have a concept where Ice TV makes all those PVRs talk to one another? So assuming each of them has a twin tuner, so two tuners, you've got three of those, and make them all work together like a six-tuner PVR. Instead of having to buy a nine-tuner IQ2 or IQ3, you just integrate what you have. And again, that's one of the new features that we're going to roll out next year, where we're going to have a cluster concept of tuners that integrates what you have so that you don't have to keep buying stuff. And of course, that would always just work with Ice TV enabled PVRs. But you know what? There's about 85,000 TiVo users in Australia. We've got about the same number of Ice TV enabled PVRs. And for us, clearly, that next push is to go to all of those TiVo users and say, you probably have about 1 or 2 years on your TiVo until it dies. You can't really buy a new one. TiVo doesn't really exist anymore. You might get it repaired, but that's getting increasingly expensive. So whether you buy a Humax, which might cost you $350 or something retail, or you buy some $150 solution, or whatever you want to buy, as long as you have Ice TV with it, you are not losing your TiVo type of functionality. And in fact, on top of it, you are gaining the ability to take TiVo on the road. Ice TV takes TiVo onto the road.
Yeah.
So they really haven't got any other choices like the analog switch off. So that next stage for us as a company in early 2014 is to really go and do a bit more marketing, which is something that traditionally we haven't done because We're an Australian company that's been primarily around consumer choice. We've got really good people, the best in the industry working for us. But you know what? We're essentially, we've traditionally been a geeky company and we like to play with technology. So for us, 2014 is to be a bit more marketing, be a bit more out there, and just getting the message very clear. Really, there is TiVo and us. And in fact, that is a global message to the rest of the world as well. Now, IceTV today is an Australian-only company. We haven't really gone in international markets. Well, we will. So we are the only alternative to TiVo, and that's the game for us.
Exactly.
Now, but it's not about a box.
Exactly.
It's not about question. An IQ392.
Who wants to go ahead? Go ahead.
I've got a question, Heinz. And I live in the USA, and to give you some context, I've got one of the new TiVo Romeos. With also the kind of TiVo Mini. So we have one DVR in the house, and it uses either Cat 5 or coax to communicate to the main TiVo to all of the other rooms. So basically you can watch and record from any room. Now, the limit of that device is the mobile side. It really sucks. It's nowhere near as easy as, say, Slingbox. So given that I've never seen your product, just help me understand it. Is it software only? Do you basically burn your software into the devices that other people manufacture? Or have you gone and done deals with the manufacturers to put your software on those devices? How does it work?
It actually is a very simple concept, and it's strange to relate despite its simplicity. We have two patents. In simplicity lies the genius. We have a cloud-based smart recording patent, which basically provides our vendor partners, whether it's a Humax or Beyond Wiz or Top Field or in the Apple world, we've got an ecosystem. They get an API from us, an application programmer's interface and a software development kit, and that enables them to send messages to the cloud, the public internet. And yeah. We have a letterbox in there on our server. And on that server, we have the electronic program guide stored. And we download incremental updates from that electronic program guide onto the DVR hardware. That way, so it's a polling-based concept where the PVR goes to the letterbox and asks, have you got an update for me? And then very fast, faster than with anyone else, also not very hungry on your internet download quota because you only get small incremental updates downloaded, you get your guide. Now, it's the same for every single piece of hardware. So whether you have a Windows Media Center, you have a Mac with the ITV software on it, or whether you have a PVR, or in fact, whether you have a Western Digital NAS-attached storage device, all of these type of devices run with IceTV.
Interesting.
And the signal and the recordings are done locally. You don't record in the cloud.
No. In Australia, we have we're a little bit different to the rest of the world. We have two things that makes it much harder to compete. And my friend, this must be very difficult to understand from someone in the US who is light years ahead. We have a regulatory environment that incentivizes litigation. So quite often, when you do innovative stuff in consumer electronics, you very quickly get into copyright issues. So cloud recording, unfortunately, isn't feasible here in Australia. So we record on the actual device, on the customer's premises. The consumer initiates the recording and therefore, in legal terms, is the maker of the copy. That's how you got to do it here in Australia.
Got it. Right. And that's, by the way, that's also true in the US. There's a lot of litigation right now. Aero, which is a company from IAC, is doing cloud-based recording of over the free-to-air channels. And they're in court and have been in court for about the last 2 years.
They have a better chance, though, because what they are doing, they have an individual antenna for every single user. So they could argue that it is actually user-specific and not cloud sort of recording. So they have been smart in how they implemented it, but one has to see whether they're going to be successful in the end or not. We've been taken to court in the past. You know, we had to go all the way up to the Supreme Court, and of course we won. And unfortunately, it's always the big fellas who try to squash all the startup companies, nip it in the bud. That was a court case that's basically cost us 5 years of profitable business. And we have a Consumer and Competition Act in Australia that is in force to provide, for the consumer's benefit, choice, prevents collusion, cartels, and so forth. But the one loophole that the big fellas always use is litigation. So we have come a very long way. Next year is when we're going to double our revenue, and we're going to double that on top of it again, not just from providing the only alternative to TiVo, but also getting consumers in Australia having a really, really hard look at the pricing that is provided for video on demand, for the pay TV in Australia. And really, I mean, with time shifting and the programming on the free-to-air channels here in Australia and ICE TV, you cannot get a lower cost type of service. The success of TiVo globally has demonstrated this is a very attractive proposition.
Oh, yeah, it's a great TV guide, Hines. It brings the information of each show brings in great information, and it's up to date all the time, and it's really good. Hannah, you were saying you had ICE TV once. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got onto it a few years ago. Initially, when I was, I found it because I was looking for a TV guide I wanted to be able to access on my iPhone. So, yeah, I only ever used it as a TV guide. I never actually got into any of the recording capabilities.
Okay. All right, good stuff. All right, Jacob, any questions for Hines?
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something about that? Because this is a really valuable comment. Thank you for making that one. Again, we're about freedom of choice. So we actually have a free app. Imagine you can get free TiVo. So we have a number of things that are enabled on our free app, and they work with any box because essentially they give you a TV guide. They enable you to look at what new shows are coming up. And you know what? Like, because we are the only company that doesn't just do this smart recording, we also have our own metadata. Now, what that means is that we are not reliant on any of the networks to do an EPG. We are doing our own EPG. We actually have 7 people who manually, every hour, put this EPG together. We write our own synopses, we put the images in, but more importantly, through that, we can do stuff that no one else does. And all of that is available on our free app as well. For example, you know, let's take something as simple as series recording, or as you call it in the US, the seasons pass. When you record something here in Australia, what's publicly available, or even if you buy it, is name dependent. So there are shows that have the same name for each episode. But if there is just one slight change in a particular episode, in the title, then it stops recording. We've got this really popular show, The Biggest Loser, here in Australia. And unfortunately, for most people who were recording this on a season's pass, the finale was called The Biggest Loser Finale. And guess what? That's exactly what the PBRs did not record, because there was a change in the name of the title. So what's really important is that you have human brains who look at this thing, curate the guide and say, hey, this is all part of a season's pass, of a series recording. We add unique identifiers to all of the series. So if anything changes, that doesn't happen. We actually even add unique identifiers to every single episode. Now, apart from all that technical jargon, what it does is with ICE TV, if you don't want to record a repeat, you really don't. And it doesn't matter whether it is non-repeat for a particular channel. See, all of the networks, if they have a particular season that they're screening, if it's not a repeat on that particular network, then the repeat flag is not set. But it may be a repeat because it is actually something old. It's just that on that particular network, it hasn't been screened. Now, with ICE TV, because we have humans, you curate that guide. You really don't record repeats. There's a lot of things that is to be said about owning the metadata. So we have a much more reliable recording. We make sure you don't miss your favorite shows. We make sure you don't have duplicates and triple the show on it that you really don't want.
Have you thought about getting into the hardware business and just putting your software on your own hardware and driving your sales that way?
Absolutely. Now, let me position this carefully, because what we are about is giving freedom of choice on the hardware platform, but also on the actual platform that you use to view and record from, as far as your mobile phone and as far as your tablet's concerned. But we really got to get control over the hardware directly to be able to get into the holy grail of time shifting. And that's ad skipping. It's ad skipping, and it's that clustering concept that I mentioned earlier, that we can just laugh about the IQ39 tuners, because when we come up in the second half of the next year with our Ice Cube box, at this stage it's only an internal code word. We call it Ice Cube, so we know what we're talking about when we do the project. This is a device which is a combination of PVR, state-of-the-art PVR, four tuners, MPEG 2 to MPEG 4 conversion, so you can get up to 20% of the normal MPEG 2 type of storage requirements, which of course means you can do with a lot less memory on your device, which then scales the price point of the device down. But also, when you start streaming this, your streaming requirements really don't interfere with any other stuff that you might be doing. If the kids are on YouTube, or you use the internet, the Wi-Fi at home for other things, it's a very powerful box. The media center part will enable other ICE TV-enabled PVRs that you already have in your home to cluster together. If you're in a bedroom and you want to record something, and you have two tuners on that PVR, say, for example, a Humax, then you normally would get a conflict, and you would have to make a choice which program you forfeit. Not with our Ice Cube, because our Ice Cube will detect that there is a conflict, and instead of blocking it, it will overflow to any other PVR in your home and record the show on that device. So you then combine that way all the tuners that you have all over your home into one single virtual PVR. This is like a supercomputer concept applied to PVRs. What we'll do then, of course, is because you've recorded it, or you think you've recorded it in the bedroom, you don't really know anymore what that thing actually is recorded in the end, because it's all dynamic. You therefore need a really good user interface that enables you to come in and have a location-independent retrieval of all the shows that you've recovered. So this, of course, will be DLNA-based, Samba, FTP, beautiful integration of all of your consumer electronics devices in the home, and that will then extend onto Macs and onto media platforms, onto hard drives and everything. So this is what we're going to come out with. Again, just to say, it's the hardware market. We don't want to be about just another box. We're not product people. We're trying to understand how people are really using these concepts. And for that reason, we're coming out with a box that is an enabler to all of your other boxes that you have in the home.
That's cool, Heinz. How much will it be, mate? You get a price, because I want one right now.
We keep hearing that. Before I give you a price,
and
before
I give you a price, Heinz, can we get one to review? Can me and Andrew get one next year?
Yes. If you'd like to, but let me give you something priceless.
Go ahead, mate.
Ad skipping.
Yeah, I love it.
Automatically, it's not a button on the remote control that we're talking about. Like you mentioned the Humax before, you get the same with Beyond Wizards, Top Fields, and so forth, where you have your like. Typically programmable, but say 30-second skip button or 2-minute skip button. Now, this is a box that has a commercial break or advertisement detection algorithm built in. Automatically finds out what is an ad versus what is the show. bookmarks it, and then and then automatically skips over it as you're watching it. So you can then either enable the ad skipping, or you can choose to watch the ads as you please.
Wow.
Now that is priceless.
That is fantastic, Hines. Andrew, what do you think about all this? Do you agree? You're going to get one? We need to review one, mate.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's really great to see some Australian innovation. I think sometimes it's hard to be a tech company in Australia, particularly when you're trying to compete with much bigger international organisations. And I think the ICTV platform is great. I'm really looking at hopefully reviewing the new product there.
Definitely.
Hines. And I think it's really cool. I enjoy the ICTV, and I did not know that you guys actually curate this thing 100% manually. To me, that's always been one of my fears. You know, for example, I watch the Formula One racing, and it does a recording at 2 or 3 a.m. at night. I had the season finale, exactly the same thing happened a while ago in Brazil, and they called it F1 Final instead of Formula One. And my recording didn't pick it up because it didn't recognize it, because the name that I clicked to record had actually changed when the TV guide came out, and I clicked it 10 days early to the night before when they actually changed it again, and it didn't record, and I was mighty annoyed. So had you guys curated and done that process the way you do it, wouldn't have had that problem.
All right.
Well, thank you. Brent. Really, really appreciate that. And a lot of what we're doing is we have our own Steve Jobs here in the company, a man of phenomenal foresight.
Really?
Who bought the company out in the early stages. His name is Colin O'Brien. He's still actively involved.
I know him.
As a key architect. You know Colin?
Yeah, he just followed me on Twitter yesterday. I was talking to him on Twitter. I know Colin, yeah. Hey Colin, how are you, mate? You're a legend, mate. Brent, what about
you? Some people call him the Giant Slayer because he took on Channel 9 and he won.
Get on him.
You know, when you're a small company, they just try to squash you like a cockroach, and you have to get up and just fight on. So we have two patents, like I said, and while they thought they had us at the courts, which they did, pretty much locked the company a couple of years down. We lost our first mover advantage here in Australia through a court case to TiVo, which of course now that TiVo is out, we're going to get back. And we're really pleased that we have two patents. And while the competition thought we were sleeping, they are most likely now infringing on the patents that we registered back then. So how the times are changing.
Yep.
And we're looking to go around and shake up the market ourselves a little bit.
Good stuff, mate. Now, Brent, any questions for Hines, Brent? And I'm sorry, mate, I've been trying to get to you for a while. Brent, go ahead.
No problem. Hey, Hines, question for you regarding the ad skip. You were talking earlier about some regulatory hurdles in developing the product, and it's interesting to me that ad skip, the way you describe its functionality, not being a consumer-driven button press, but rather an automatic detection and skipping that way. Are you familiar with the U.S. case, maybe back in 2003 or so, with Replay TV and Sonic Blue, and what those hurdles were like, regulatory?
I understand, probably not to the level you would, but yes, from an outsider's observation, I am familiar with the case.
So I'm wondering, do you feel comfortable, does your company feel comfortable enough that you're not going to experience those kind of pushbacks as well with your technology, or do you think that it's under the radar enough that it can last a long time? Because that's always real, real tough when you're saying, we found a way to skip ads. Mm-hmm. That can always just be a ticking time bomb.
So there is three things, three parts to my reply. Part one is that we have learned to roll out all technology being legally informed. So we got, like I said, we're a bit of a geeky company, right? We have lots of ideas that especially over Friday night drinks. What we do is we run them past our solicitors. We have internationally very experienced solicitors. So before we start with the implementation of anything, we know this is legally defensible. Second, the ad skipping specifically is done with a major global research organization that is backing the research and is also going to handle the patenting and the legal defense of the patent. And in that particular company's name, without dropping names, that's something for our public relations department early next year. It is a research organization that has taken on Microsoft and Nokia for Wi-Fi patents and succeeded. So we are going to be, we're acutely aware of what you're saying. It's been a very useful, very valuable comment. The third thing is that outside the legal area, we are, of course, aware that there's going to be competitive reaction from the commercial stations because obviously their income is heavily based on advertising. So they are likely to do things in the way, ad detection uses some techniques. It uses screen blackouts. It uses logo detection. It senses how the volume changes between your program and your ad break. And there's a few known techniques. So they're likely to keep changing all of these things on an ongoing basis to make you fall over. So we got to make sure we anticipate that they're going to do every single thing technically and legally to thwart us. But because we're prepared for it, it's going to be a hell of a consumer experience. We just can't wait to roll that out. And we're going to give that away free of charge as a standard feature of our Ice Cube when we're coming out next year.
That is fantastic.
So hold on to your existing Ice TV-enabled PVRs.
Yeah, yes.
Get yourself an Ice Cube next year. We're going to add all of them together like one single PVR. You're going to get ad skipping from us.
Jeez.
And for all of those TiVo users here in Australia, please come to us.
Throw away your TiVo. Smash your TiVo and go to
a game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, Hines. I agree, mate. Jacob, any questions for Hines?
Nothing right now.
All right. Okay, who else?
I did have some.
Okay, go ahead, Paul. Any questions for Hines? We need to wrap up very soon, mate.
Yeah, just a question on your NetStream device with Ice TV. I think it's brilliant that you can actually stream your content onto any device, so you don't actually physically have to be at your television to watch live TV. I was just wondering if you were going the next step further and actually bringing that to, say, you know, over the net live streaming.
Absolutely, and one of our friends earlier on mentioned Slingbox. That's probably where you're going. Yes, the trick is to do this in a way that is really easy and user-friendly. Slingbox is a good product that does that, but isn't all that easy to configure and make it work. And you also want that done in a way that doesn't take over your TV so that it's all running in the background without impinging on watching the TV at the same time. So, yes, the streaming will be a natural part of our Ice Cube. It will be done in MPEG-2. And that way you will have a lot less data requirements while you're doing the streaming. Of course, what we're also looking to do is to go into all of the mobile carriers here in Australia and offer them an alternative to what they're currently sourcing. The issue there is mainly a commercial one because they don't necessarily want to distinguish between different data services. They treat data pricing exactly the same way, regardless of whether it is video streaming or whether it is an email. And, of course, that then very quickly becomes cost prohibitive. But we're hoping that by the end of next year, you will also be able to buy our Icebox from one of the major carriers. And if any one of those carriers is listening to us now, we're going to be able to do proof of concept early next year.
Can't wait, Hines. Who else could I ask? Steve, any questions for Hines, Steve? Steve.
Oh, it's mostly a statement. I like the way you mentioned how all the DVRs in the house, you can integrate them. Perhaps where if one gets full, you can switch the DVR to another one or something like that. I think that was a great idea.
All right. So Hines, what's
thank the deal? You for your support.
So Hines, what's the deal for people today? So if they want to buy Ice TV, have you got a deal for us today or not?
Well, Andrew, our marketing manager, he decided to offer. Is it the first 100? People who dial into this webcast,
I think it is
a discounted Ice TV subscription for $69.
That's it.
But let me tell you,
yep.
We'll make that unrestricted. So go for it, guys. Have at least a trial. It doesn't cost anything to use Ice TV. You get several months free, and in fact, you can then indefinitely stay with the free app. But it is worthwhile to use our paid app. I mean, there's magnificent stuff. You know, like typically, the EPG, the program guide, is only released 7 days ahead. Because we have people, and we are consumers ourselves, we know what people like. So we know when the Super Bowl is on in the US next year, and we know when the Tour de France is on next year, and the World Cup in Brazil. And you will find that, if you like, on our guide, and you press record, and you can record a year ahead, although the actual metadata and the time and title hasn't been released at all by the network stations. But because it's a curated guide, you just say, I want this, and then you can have it when the information becomes available. Another neat little example of how useful we are being independent on our metadata, and you know what? You get that with the free app, so please have a play around. Enjoy it. We do really good tech support as well. We get fabulous ratings on Android and iTunes for the tech support that we provide. We won't let you down, even if you have trouble setting up your Wi-Fi. We're there.
I agree about the tech.
I have a quick question. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I agree about what Heinz is about the technical support. They've helped me a couple of times over the phone. Heinz, great job, mate, by the way, with them guys who worked there.
Pass it on to Dave and Janine. Thank
Please
you.
Please do. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, I'm sorry,
you're right,
Brad.
You're right.
I didn't mean to talk over you. So you were talking. You said it was only $69 for a subscription. Is that what? Was that the special?
That's a special.
Or?
Yeah, that's a code you use.
That's the special. Yeah, that's special, the special. Yeah. But you know what? It's because we don't know how many people are listening to this. So we don't want to be given $100,069 away. If it's thousands,
is that for how long? For a year?
That's a year, yeah.
We'll make it over the Christmas season.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay,
no,
that's
no,
good.
No. I mean, the subscription length. How long? Basically, how do your plans work? So I am here in the States, and I, like Keith, I use a TiVo Romeo, and then I have another TiVo set in my bedroom, and I pay this outrageous fee for it. It's, you know, it's $15 a month for that, or I could buy a lifetime membership for $500.
Oh, wow.
And what you're saying just excites me, and I really cannot wait until you are able to go international and give TiVo a run for the money here in the States, because I do love TiVo here, but I really would love to see something like what you have out here as well. So I'm super excited for what you do. Kudos to you and your team for being so awesome. And but I'm curious for your subscription model. What can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Okay. So we don't charge any money at all for our business partners. So pretty much if we're talking, I can't really leak out or share names with some of the major vendors that we're talking about, but all of the global consumer brands will have us on their platforms at least by late next year. But we don't charge them. So where we're making our money is in the actual consumers, then buying one of these platforms, say, for example, you bought a Panasonic, and let's assume we are on a Panasonic, and you say, hey, I really like what these guys are doing, but there must be a better way of finding shows and recording and taking it with me wherever I am in the world to be able to do remote browsing. And then you find Ice TV through the marketing machine of our vendors. Like I said, we're a small Australian company. We rely on our technology partners and word of mouth to promote us. So you will find typically a pamphlet that is in the box when you unpack your DVR from the vendor, and it shows you how to set up Ice TV. Then the cost is, this is in Australian dollars,
mm-hmm.
You can take out a monthly subscription. First of all, you play with it. You get it 3 months free.
Mm-hmm.
So you before you pay anything, you know whether it's worth your money or not. And then you can take out a monthly subscription for $13,
mm-hmm.
or a quarterly, so every 3 months for $33.
Mm-hmm.
Or really, you can take out an annual subscription. If you're on the auto-renewal, it costs you as little as $79.
Yeah.
So if you do a manual renewal, It costs you $99 a year, but if you provide us with your credit card details and say auto-renew every year, you get a $20 discount. So for just $79 a year, you get all of this TiVo next-generation kind of technology. And the good thing is, remember the old days when you know the early smartphones came out and it was all between, do I get a BlackBerry? I don't really want to get a BlackBerry because I know my Nokia so well. And then Windows came out on the smartphones, and the old Palm users, I had just about every single Palm there was.
Oh, yeah, I had the Palm too, yeah.
Never wanted to relearn the interface. Now think of Ice TV. This runs on any sort of platform, so you never have to relearn your user interface. Mm-hmm. You just buy the more expensive hardware or the least expensive hardware to add on into your different rooms in the house. So you now have a choice that, you know, my kid's only like 5 or 6 years old. A smaller price tag will do for them. Less featured, less memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you buy that.
Makes sense.
You know, whereas for the lounge room, you want to buy this Ice Cube media center type of box that enables ad skipping anywhere in the house on any other device, even if it's not the Ice Box. As long as it's Ice TV enabled. So you can see Ice TV is really a free-to-air time-shifting scaling concept that sits on the hardware of your choice, and it also sits in your pocket wherever you are in the world. I just bloody love this.
Definitely, Heinz. Heinz, what's your view on the Freeview TV guide and what they're doing?
Well, Freeview... Freeview is a marketing consortium that has declared war on ad skipping. Right?
Oh,
so
okay.
you can't even get a PVR with a ad skip button on it. You know that button
you're
talking about earlier on that skips by 30 seconds or 2 minutes? You won't ever get the Freeview certification sticker for it. And it hasn't really been successful. Now, the next thing that they're going to do is to bring out HBB TV, which, among other things, is very much about catch-up TV. That's going to be interesting, but here in Australia, as far as we understand, there might be a varied implementation, slightly different to the UK implementation. There's a little bit of uncertainty around it, which is why you will see a delayed rollout as far as the vendors are concerned. So first, the standard needs to be stable. So we'll probably see this rolled out late next year or early 2015.
All right, good stuff, Heinz. Jennifer, what
we're certainly supporting it.
Just one more question.
Go ahead.
So, Heinz, you're talking a lot about free-to-air. I'm going to guess, therefore, that you don't work with cable or satellite delivery. That's the first part of the question. The second part of the question is, what about over-the-top? That is to say, you know, like I've got a project in the USA called Now.TV, and we're thinking of doing a global news with HTTP streaming. Are you planning to build in support for over-the-top channels that are not broadcast in your country?
Absolutely. So let me answer that second part of your question first, because it flows more naturally from the question that was asked on earlier on about Freeview. And when I said that you will see HBB TV rolled out in Australia. So HBB TV is hybrid. So it is a mixture of free-to-air and over-the-top. So we are going to support that standard, and with it we're going to support the applications from catch-up TV to anything else. On going to your first question, not so much about the connectivity in terms of whether it's cable or satellite, but more from a point of view of content, which is the pay TV content. Absolutely. We are going to offer, very similar to what our hardware partners have done in an alliance with a content provider, video on demand, which is then either TVOD or subscription-based.
Uh-huh. All right, good answer.
In fact, you can do that today. If you buy a Humax, QuickFlix kind of our Australian version of Netflix, if you like, fudging a bit to keep things neat, but but you can view it this way, I guess. That's an app, a standard app on any HuMax box. So if you get, again, if you're a TiVo user, this is quite interesting. So QuickFlix is now the transactional video provider for TiVo in Australia. If you're replacing your TiVo box with a HuMax and Ice TV combination, you basically retain your QuickFlix because that also runs on the HuMax box. And you retain all the benefits that TiVo gives you because you have Ice TV and you gain a lower cost. You gain future-proofing because you know next year you're going to get ad skipping.
Exactly.
So don't buy a platform that locks you in and you never be able to enjoy the ad skipping.
Definitely. Kinds.
Another year of annoying ads.
Yep. Yep, definitely. Okay, Jennifer, what's your view on all this? And we need to wrap up right now because TiVo, are you over TiVo now? Do you want Ice TV?
I would love to have Ice TV, so I'm super excited about it, and I really wish you all the best out there in Australia, and know that you'll be in the States after a few years, hopefully, so I'll cross my fingers. And you want to know my view on the show as well, Brad?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, all right, I'll go ahead and wrap. Okay, great guest tonight. Great talking with Andrew about Zarfo, and Keith, you were awesome with the whole Just Me, talking about that, and really the conversation with you and Andrew was fantastic. So good to hear that. And Heinz, outstanding. So thank you so much for being on. That was really some great stuff, and you have me all excited. I love DVRs. Been using them since they first came out, so a huge fan here. And then as far as where you can find me online, since we're kind of signing off here, you can find me at jenniferruggiero.com, and also check out getnerdywithit.com as well as techanarchy.com.
And so also, next year, Jennifer, you'll be a main co-host on Tech Webcast.
Yes, thank you. So next year, 2014, I'll be a main person on the show. Yes, so thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
No problem. People want to be on the show, so...
I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozen Tech Webcast. Hannah Silver, what's your final view of the show and Ice TV and that sort of good stuff? Is she asleep?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Oh, sorry. I'm cutting up fruit to make juice. Good, great. sitting back and listening. Great to meet you, Heinz, virtually, and to hear about everything that's on offer. The future is exciting, and thanks for having me on the show, Brad.
No problem, and enjoy your trip in the US too, Anna.
Thank you.
You have great, have good fun. Paul, what about you, mate? What's your view on this?
Well, on the Ice TV streaming.
The show and that sort of stuff.
Oh, the entire show. Yeah. As far as I know, it was a very good end show. It was definitely quite long, hour and a half. But as far as I know, it was probably one of the best shows you've had in 2013.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I agree 100%. Where can they get hold of you?
You can get hold of me, obviously, on YouTube, Twitter, and G+, which is basically all Peak Area 12.
Good stuff, buddy. Good stuff. And good to have you on as well. On the show, it's good to have you on.
No worries,
and come back on anytime you want. No, I won't ask you. You can just come back on and let me know if you're free. You can just come back on anytime you want.
Okay, no worries.
Keith T, what about you?
I just wish everybody? Sorry, it's Heinz. I just really wanted to thank being on the show and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and
thank you, Heinz.
Ad-free 2014.
That's it, mate. Good stuff. Good stuff, mate. You too. Appreciate you being on here. You're a legend. Keith T, what about you?
You can get me KTEARE, and that is on Skype, Twitter, YouTube, pretty much everywhere. I use the same thing everywhere. And new things coming from Just.me. No one knows this yet, but I'm going to pull the app out of the App Store in the next couple of weeks and replace it with a brand new app. I can't tell you the name of it because it's a secret.
But, are you serious?
We're pivoting it a little bit. Very consistent with what we've been doing recently, but more wholehearted.
Wow. Okay. Is it same sort of app? Same sort of – what does it do?
Totally it's totally different. It's in the space of public messaging, but
okay.
And just.me is going to produce several of these apps. It's going to become like a studio with multiple apps all addressing people's need to communicate publicly.
Oh, nice one. Okay. Can't wait. Come back on the show when that's out, mate. And
we'll do. So if you care about just.me, the current app, you've got about 2 weeks left to use it, then it's going to disappear.
Okay. I'll miss it. Good stuff, Kev. Good stuff. What about you, Steve?
Oh, well, it was a great show with many different topics thrown in. You can find me on Twitter at chatterbox_live.
Okay. Who else we missed? Brent, what about you, mate? What's your final view?
It was a good show, good guests, good news. It was a good year. I'm looking forward to returning with Tech Webcast in 2014.
Can't wait, mate. January the 4th, we return. January the 4th. What about Ice TV? What do you think of Ice TV?
You know, I think the one thing, there's a lot of things in there that are really fantastic about this product, but the one thing that really stood out to me that didn't get a lot of talk tonight about was the beauty of having a unified interface.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if you've ever gone to a unified interface, that's something you don't ever want to go back to without it. It's a wonderful feature to have.
Good stuff. And also, Andrew left because he's into...
You want me to quickly talk about...
Yeah, can you give us like 2 minutes? Give us 2 minutes. Heinz, go ahead. Got 2 minutes.
Two? Oh, I can do it in 2 seconds because it's so simple.
Go ahead.
So presumably, when you say unified interface, that is across different hardware platforms. But across different devices as well, so the different hardware platforms, but also the different user interfaces. And what you have on your app on your smartphone has got to look alike to what you see on your TV screen. So the embedded type of user interface got to match what you have on your phablet. So, yes, that's the product strategy. We're not exactly quite there yet, simply because we don't have our own PVR platform. So you will always have a different incarnation of Ice TV on the hardware platform, different between a Humax, a Topfield. So the unifier there, the way it is at the moment, is on our apps, which is independent of the hardware, always the same. But when you actually go onto your PVR, that's where the vendor-specific implementation will always shine a little.
All right, I think that's a sign to wrap up. Okay, hello? Thanks for being on, guys. Hannah, thanks for being on. Heinz, Steve, and Jennifer, and Brent. Thanks for being on, guys. And make sure you download make sure you download the Zarfo app from Zarfo.com, and you can get Andrew on Twitter at Zarfo, I think. You can, yeah. I'm not sure what his other Twitter name is, but do you know what it is, Jennifer? Or?
No, I don't know.
He left. His internet dropped out. So anyway, see
you. No, I'm trying to find it right now. Actually, yeah, I think it's Andrew. See you. Oh wait, hold on. I'm finding it. Cunning Drew.
That's it.
At Cunning Drew.
That's it. All right. Thanks for being on, guys. See you next year. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you, Hannah. Enjoy your juice. See you, Heinz.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy holidays.
You too. Thank you.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!